The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
On May 10th, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere.
What a wonderful day!
This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
Apes hunt humans. That is wrong.
Bend for your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Only in theaters May 10th. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
Is not here to play around.
He can really put up with me regardless. Wrestling, boxing, jiu-jitsu, as you guys can see, I'll take you out.
Bo Nickel!
Oh! Spin kick sets him down. And now trying to end it.
Big round and pound here. Harris.
Oh! That's gonna do it! Another one!
They can't no man run enough.
Welcome to UFC Unfiltered.
Please tell me that's on video. I've never been happier.
I'm made for a fucking podcast. That's dangerous. Listen to me, we're at it.
Welcome to UFC Unfiltered. Jim Norton and Matt Serra. We have a great show today. We don't have anybody on the show who has lost. We refuse to have anybody before such a big card who has lost. Bo Nickel is 3-0. Shavkat Rakhmonov, 16-0. Both have incredible fights coming up on this card. Bo Nickel is leading off the pay-per-view against Jamie Pickett, which is obviously going to be his toughest fight yet, a veteran like Jamie Pickett. And Rakhmonov is fighting. Jeff Neal. Jesus, what a good fight! So this is really a great. And I'm sorry, Matt. We also have Johnny the Greek returning. He was such a fun hang last time.
Look at my shirt. Do you notice anything?
A lot of big muscular chest in there.
Well, I mean, a wrong arm. Sorry.
No, that's better.
You don't notice that? Stay. What is that, Jimmy?
Oh, yeah.
That's horrible.
That's embarrassing.
Should I change my shirt?
No.
Is it too late?
Yeah, we started already. It would be so.
All right, welcome to UFC Unfiltered. I'm sorry, you said that already. Jimmy, this weekend, I got good news and bad news. The good news is I'm making your show.
Oh, good, Matt. That's great.
The bad news is the missus is not making it.
I don't blame her.
I'm bringing... Because you know why? I got my kids' dance comp, but it's at, she's going to be there all day long. I could be there for some, but I'm going to take off to watch you. And you know who I'm bringing?
Who?
Little Edwin. You know my brother-in-law?
Ah, perfect.
You know?
Good.
So if there's a riot there, I got my 300-pound brother-in-law coming with
me. The ruckus breaks out.
Edwin. I go, listen, I know you like funny things. We get along. I go, you want to see my little Jimmy? He goes, I seen him on Netflix. I go, all right, calm down. Do you want, is that a yes or a no?
Goes, that's great.
I go, wait, buddy, me and you.
What about the fights after? Because the John Jones, the card starts at 10 o'clock, the pay-per-view. Obviously, we're going to promote the, of course, the prelims, the early prelims, the whole card. I think yes. Cody Garbrandt's the main fight of the prelims. He's the I mean, this fucking card, Matt, is so, it's sick how good this card is.
Listen. We're going to talk about it all fucking episode. I can't wait. But just so I know my day, what time are you done with your show?
I should be done with my show by about 9:30, 9:40. It starts at 8 o'clock, 8:15, 9:30, 9:45, before 10.
Hey, listen, man, I might not even say goodbye. I might text you from the car because I got to go home to watch the fight. Is that mean? No. I want to say hello. I'm sorry, Jimmy. Put your evil goblet down. Listen.
No, I have to drive all the way back to the city to watch the card.
But do I have any, secret word or a code word or anything to get me to go see you if I want to say goodbye?
Yeah, we'll have your names on the list. You're on the list.
Is it going to be a person, like a couple guys the size of Edwin trying to block a door where I'm trying to
get... No one as big as Edwin, and you guys will be allowed in.
Don't big time me when we're in public, Jimmy.
No, never.
All right, we got Bo Nickel here.
Let's bring Bo Nickel in.
Bo, this is the first time we're meeting, man. Nice to meet you, bro.
Yeah, nice to meet you all as well. Yeah, thanks, bro.
How are you feeling? You must be excited. The opening fight on the main card is such a giant pay-per-view. But, you know, you're ready.
Definitely, yeah. Super ready. Big opportunity, you know. So when the opportunities are the biggest, I'm definitely wanting to make the most of it and put on a awesome performance. So I'm just excited to go out there and do my thing.
Yeah. And Jamie Pickett, I mean, he's a veteran. He's seen most things guys can throw. How do you approach a guy like this as opposed to one of the guys on the Contender Series?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, you know, obviously has a lot of experience and, you know, that sometimes can be something that's difficult to overcome. But I look at it as I got a lot of film that I get to study and watch and break down. And I have to understand and learn a lot of his tendencies and the way he likes to fight and stuff. And so, you know, with a lot of film, being able to break it down and put my time and effort into that, I feel like I have a good grasp of what he's going to come out with. And yeah, I feel confident. I feel excited. And yeah, just ready to, like I said, put on a great performance.
Being a wrestler all your life, when did you realize or when did you get the idea of saying, oh, you know what? When this is done, maybe I'll fight in a cage. When did you know? Not all wrestlers. Listen, a lot of wrestlers like to test themselves with the mixed martial arts because they got that tough, their grit. They have that grit. Some of them don't. Some of them get hit and they're like, ah, this is different. When did you find that out that this is going to be your path?
Yeah. You know, like you said, I think wrestling obviously is a great base for MMA, and there's a lot of wrestlers that do well, but at the same time, there's a lot of wrestlers that it doesn't really, you know, make sense for. And so for me, I think that it was kind of always in me, like naturally, like I grew up like fighting all the time, just like for fun, like with my friends or whatever. You know, I think the first time I was actually like fighting, that I remember like fighting for fun was maybe like fifth, sixth grade. We'd be at a wrestling tournament. And this is when I lived in Albuquerque, New Mexico. So a little bit of a rougher area, a fight culture, I would say. And right. So we'd do the wrestling tournament. You'd wrestle your match in like the high school. And then you'd go to a back hallway where there wasn't anybody else and no parents and anything. And there'd be like 30 kids in a circle and you'd throw two kids in there and they'd fight. And so every weekend I would wrestle, you know, 10, 12 matches and then have like five or six fights like with the other kids and stuff. So that was like the first time I started like enjoying fighting and loving it. And then, you know, just continuing with wrestling through high school, through college. It was probably halfway through my college career where I was like 100% I'm going to be fighting MMA. And then, you know, after the Olympic trials and stuff in 2021, I started training full time.
It's crazy that you would do that. So you just love the competition, or did you learn to love it because it was a great survival mechanism?
No, I just loved it. It was fun. Like, it wasn't like every single kid was back there, but I just kind of gravitated towards that. And I actually had moved to New Mexico in the fifth grade. I lived in like a small town in Wyoming and grew up there. And when I moved to New Mexico, like just meeting new kids, learning the new culture, I'm like, oh, like, this is fun. Like, I enjoy this. And so that's kind of where I would always find myself. And of course, you know, from there, I was watching the UFCs and all of the events, you know, go to Buffalo Wild Wings with my family and stuff. And I just always enjoyed it.
Now, why did you move? Because your mom was an amateur boxer, right?
Yeah. So my mom boxed amateur. Originally, when I lived in Wyoming, my dad was coaching wrestling. He was my coach since I started. And moving to New Mexico, a couple of reasons. We had a good opportunity for my dad to take a job as a head wrestling coach of a really strong program in New Mexico's Rio Rancho was the program, and a lot of really tough wrestlers out there. And then my mom enjoyed the weather of Albuquerque quite a bit better than Wyoming as well. You know, a lot of snow out there, so she enjoyed the nice weather. And yeah, I lived there through the eighth grade, so just kind of, you know, grew up as like a kid, you know, Wyoming, New Mexico, and then the eighth grade I moved to Texas, and that's where I did my high school career.
So Jimmy, you're famous for stealing my questions.
Did you want to ask?
I'm famous about his mom. sneaky little bird. Let me ask you. So your dad was a wrestling coach and your mom, but your mom was an amateur boxer. How many fights did she have?
My mom actually, she was an athlete her whole life growing up. So she played all different sports as a kid. And then she went to college. She played basketball in college at San Diego State. And so she always enjoyed sports and stuff. And then she never did any combat sports or anything growing up. But when she met my dad and, him being so into wrestling, she started, getting interested in combat sports and stuff. And then when we moved to New Mexico, she started training at Jackson Wink and just like getting in there, moving around, just mostly like for fitness at first. And then she got an opportunity to fight an amateur fight. They did like a police versus a firefighters, like a fundraiser fight. And there was no female firefighter, but there was a female police officer. So the firefighting team was like, will you fight? Like she knew some guys that that worked there. And she was like, yeah, let's do it. And so she fought and won and did really well. And then she was like, I could probably want to do this a few more times. And so she probably had like 4 or 5 amateur boxing matches. And we would just go to like a random casino and she would throw down. Her last fight, I was like, probably 12 or 13. And it was me and I have 3 younger sisters. Me and two of my sisters were like in her corner. My dad couldn't come. And she was fighting this chick that was like Golden Gloves champ, like 18 years old, like up and coming. And they thought she was going to like kill my mom. And just getting some experience. And my mom like TKO'd her in the second round and smashed her. So yeah, she had a few fights and, she started obviously a lot later, but she's super tough and, definitely, someone I look up to a lot.
That's so great, man. That reminds me, Jimmy, I'm sorry. That reminds me of my wife. 'Cause my wife never did any school sports. She lost weight between the kids doing the kickboxing and she's 3-0 as an amateur kickboxer. She's 39. It's just funny. It reminded me of that. So my kids, my little, I have 3 daughters and my 3 daughters, they never saw me fight, besides that one drunk in Vegas, but they seen my wife fight 3 times. And I don't know, it's funny, man. So, yeah. I mean, that probably influenced you a ton. And they must love how great you're doing in this, being that they're both combat athletes, you know?
Yeah, for sure. You know, it was something like a lot of people were asking me questions when I started getting into MMA, like, oh, are your parents going to, like, support you? Like, are they okay with it? I'm like, yeah, they're okay with it. Like, we're good to go. So there was really no issue on that end. And, yeah, they've been super supportive and they love it. So they've been to every single one of my fights and they really enjoy it.
On the Monday, we had Faraz Sahabi on, and he had a really interesting, I think we were talking about Tatiana Suarez, and who started wrestling at 5 years old or in that. And he made a really interesting point about when kids start wrestling that young, he thinks it gets like hardwired into your brain, the way to wrestle. Do you put any stock in that? It was really, I thought, a smart point that you wrestle differently when you start that young. It becomes much more of an instinctive thing and a natural thing than somebody who's taught at an older age.
Yeah, I would absolutely agree with that. You know, I think that when you're that young, you're still just growing and developing so much, not only physically, but cognitively, and like how your brain is just so, so new. You're learning so many different things at that, and you're just a very blank slate. And for me, I feel like wrestling has really been ingrained in me from a young age since I've had great coaches, you know, starting with my dad. And he made sure that I always had great training partners, even as a little kid. And we put so much time and effort and into my sport. And it was always something that was exciting for me because I felt like now looking back, it was never about my dad, right? Like, even though he was my coach and he was, wanting to help me and push me, it was always my choice. And it was always something that I enjoyed. And, from a young age, I had really big goals. And I think that most kids when they're, 6, 7, 8 years old, aren't thinking about, winning high school state titles and winning NCAA championships. They're thinking about like, what am I going to eat this afternoon? Or, whose birthday party am I going to this weekend? And for me, that was like never a big concern. I always just wanted to wrestle and get better and watch film and study. And, even when I was, like I said, like 8, 9 years old, I would be watching film on like Kale Sanderson and Satiev and all these great wrestlers and studying them. So, that's just always been a passion for me. And I do feel like that made a big difference starting so young.
How did you end up at American Top Team? Because you heard you said you were from Albuquerque. You were with Jackson Wink, did you move or something? Or if there's any drama, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to start shit. I'm just okay. No drama. You don't look like a drama guy. Yeah. Go ahead. So, tell me.
Yeah. So I lived in Albuquerque for 4 years, and when I was in the eighth grade, I moved to Texas. Went to high school in Texas, and then went to college at Penn State. And so when I decided I wanted to fight MMA, I really had a lot of agents like reaching out to me and stuff, and people wanting to sign me. And so I had met with a few people and talked with a few people, and the guy that I clicked with the most was Malki Kawa with First Round Management. And him being based in Miami, he introduced me to Masvidal, introduced me to Dan Lambert at ATT, and I really liked the vibe. It felt like to me when I got there, like the way that they had their system set up and the way that they had a solid structure and training, obviously so many talented fighters, that really drew me in. And so, when I initially met Dan, I told him I had an idea of starting an American Top Team at Penn State in Pennsylvania. And so Dan was all about it and loved the idea. And he was kind of the driving force behind that. And so now we've had a gym up in at Penn State going for, about a year and a half since I started. And it's been awesome. So we'll have a perfect avenue for all the Penn State athletes, Penn State wrestlers that want to transition into fighting, and they'll be able to, stay at home and train at the gym there. And obviously I go down to ATT in Florida as well, and I have access to all their resources. So we have a really good system set up.
And I know that it's premature to say, hey, what are you looking at further down as far as opponents are concerned? You want to get through this one guy, and he's not an easy fighter. But when you look at the division, I mean, Gastelum is 15th. Like, that's how good that division is. I mean, it is packed. There's not a weak spot in the entire division. If you have an exciting win and they decide they want to, do you think you have to fight somebody unranked one more time, or do you think you possibly get somebody? I mean, like Shamayev, guys like that have had very fast rises. So exciting wins can get you better opponents, as you know.
Right. Yeah. I think I'll for sure have exciting wins. And so that's kind of the thing I'm trying to navigate right now. I'm really leaning on my coaches and my management team to make sure that I'm making good decisions and putting myself in the best position to be successful. So, with exciting wins, obviously they're going to want to push me. And I feel like I'm only 3-0, and I've been doing MMA for a year and a half. Obviously, I have 20 years of wrestling experience behind that, but the reality is I'm pretty green into this game. So I want to continue to develop my game and get better and better every day. That's what I'm really focused on, is improving as a fighter and just learning and honing my craft and making sure that I'm the best I can be. And so if there's big opportunities for big fights and I'm about it, and my management team and coaches are all signed off, then we're ready to go. This is really, for me, a team effort, and I lean on those guys a lot. So yeah, we'll see. You never know. MMA is a crazy game. I didn't think I would be in the UFC at this point, but here we are.
It's a very grounded approach. That's smart.
Shoot, man, you're doing something right. Hey, Bo, let me ask you. Enough of this fighting shit. What about on the day off? I don't want to hear active rest. You're not going for a jog. What is a hobby? We like to get to know.
Yeah.
What is a hobby you like to do, Bo?
For sure, yeah.
No lifting weights, nothing physical. Nah. I can tell the day off, you probably got a bone. You're like, you look ready. It's the ears. You ever seen a fight, Jimmy? All right, tell us, Bo, what do you like to do as a hobby?
Yeah, my favorite thing to do is go hunting. So I really enjoy hunting. I enjoy fishing. Obviously, I'm in central Pennsylvania, so there's a lot of hunting out there. White-tailed deer, bear, turkey, all that. And then every fall, I go out to Colorado. I got family in Colorado as well, my uncle and aunt. So I go visit them. They have a lot of land, and I'll hunt elk and mule deer and stuff. So I really enjoy hunting. That's like been my go-to.
One of my students, he brought me bear. I had bear for the first time, bear burgers.
Yeah.
Holy shit, it was delicious, Jimmy.
Good?
I even had it without the bread. I just was cutting it like a steak. It was so good.
Yeah,
I'm not the best with guns. I'm a little scared, but I'm afraid God forbid I'd have an accident. But I'm definitely not against hunting. I love my buddies bring me back some nice deer.
Yep.
That is, deer meat is my favorite. The way Ciro, my father-in-law, makes the deer meat, he makes it like a chicken cutlet. It is my favorite. How about it's my favorite meat?
Oh, so isn't it too gamey? It's not too gamey, Matt.
No, it's not gamey at all.
The way you cook it. Yeah, for sure.
It is the way you cook it.
I like, personally, my favorite is, I do elk. Elk is like, you know, I love deer, but elk is like almost the next level up because you get like these big steaks and it's just, it's awesome.
Do you gut them too? Sorry, Matt. Do you gut them? Like, you see Rogan's videos. Yeah. He's always like he'll cut them up and he's into the entire process. Do you just shoot them or do you dress them down and do everything?
No, you dress them down, everything. So for me, I'm actually more passionate about archery hunting. So I do archery as well. So, you know, that's what I really enjoy pursuing because of the difficulty. So yeah, from start to finish, you know, stalking the prey, getting in position, making the shot, then from there, you know, tracking the animal, find the blood trail, and then processing it all the way from start to finish. You know, usually we'll skin it, gut it, get the meat ready. And then my uncle has like a really good system where we'll hang it and stuff, and then yeah, do it all.
Dude, that's some manly shit. Jimmy, I thought I got my man caught when I used to fight in the cage and shock the world, all that stuff. But this takes it to another level. In my spare time, I got VR on and I'm shooting shit. It's very embarrassing. This is like that. He's fighting in a cage for a living. What does he do on a day off or a weekend off? He's killing. This is what you are in the right sport, my friend.
I think so for sure.
How much does an elk weigh? Do you guys have to pull the elk, obviously, get it out of there? How much do they weigh?
Oh, they're heavy. The last one I got, it was probably north of 800 pounds, you know, so they're big animals. They can, you know, they could probably get over 1,000 pounds. So yeah, usually you want to make sure that you get them into a good spot. But you know, if you're not in a good spot, you'll just quarter them out, you know, cut them in quarters and pack out. So yeah, you kind of this stuff is just super fun for me to learn because, like you're saying, it's like manly stuff, survival, being able to like take care of yourself. And I really, the best part for me is being able to bring the meat back home and cook it for my family, my wife, my friends, stuff like that. And that's what I really enjoy, being able to like provide for them. So it's a cool experience overall. Everything about it, I really love it.
Do you have like a big freezer full of like elk meat?
Yeah. I have a couple big freezers. So we got a bunch of stuff: elk, mule deer, whitetail, all that, pheasant.
But that's how stupid I am. It didn't even occur to me that you could like cut it up there. I'm such a dope. I think you're dragging an 800 pound elk back to your house. I really am a moron.
Not super practical. Yeah. I haven't hunted my whole life. My dad hunted, my family hunted, but I was always wrestling. So I really got into it like the last 2 years. And so I'm learning all this stuff. And it's really nice for me to be able to have something else, right? Like, you know, fighting and all that goes into that takes up so much of my time, but it's really nice to have like another outlet that I'm really passionate about and enjoy to kind of balance everything.
Well, yeah.
Valentina Shevchenko, when she's not, you know, making her body a weapon, she's at the range with her Glock. Yeah. She's fucking, it's like,
yeah.
Whoa.
No doubt.
Talk about living it, you know?
Sure.
Well, yeah. Bo, look, everyone is excited to, you were happy for you. Opening fight of a great card against a very skilled veteran. I'm looking forward to this fight a lot. Good luck on Saturday and congratulations. They obviously have faith in you if they're putting you on the main card already. So they must think very highly of you. So have a great fight, man. We'll talk to you again. Okay.
Yep. Thanks, guys. Appreciate y'all.
All right. Take care, Bo. Be good. Bo.
Yeah.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
On May 10th, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere.
What a wonderful day!
This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
Apes hunt humans. That is wrong.
Bend for your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Only in theaters May 10th. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
Hey, that was fun.
He's great. Yeah. And he really is a killer too. That's going to be such an interesting I always like to see a new guy like that who's so good, but he seems like a grounded, smart guy. You know, hey, look, I mean, I've only got a couple of years of MMA. Like, he doesn't seem like he's, you know, he's gunning for, you know, Marvin Vettori yet. He wants to get a little more, a couple more fights under his belt. He's smart.
Listen, man, I think there's going to be a lot of eyes on him. And I think a guy with his wrestling pedigree, he's used to being under those bright lights. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He's used to answering the call, Jimmy.
Matt, he was 120-3. I think he had 123 fights. He won 120 of them in his NCAA record, I believe. So yeah, you're right. He's very experienced. He understands pressure. What do you think?
You're saying?
What did I say? Fights? Yeah, I'm sorry. 123 matches.
I'm saying, man. Fuck. Good.
Rakhmonov is our next guy. He's not here yet, but he's been talking about fighting Shamayev, who they are saying might go up to 185. They don't know if he'll fight at welterweight again. What do you think?
Well, I think first he said, and then he said Shamayev.
Wait, who did he say first, buddy? I didn't hear you.
Shamil. Shamayev. Yeah, Jimmy!
I should have just been happy that it cut out for a second.
Okay, you ready for the weekend? Jimmy, I'm so unfunny and cringy at times.
You're very funny. No, you make people very happy.
Oh, I make myself happy.
Also, do I.
I'm just, some say I'm special. Anyway, Jimmy, we got Yachty the Greek coming on.
Yes.
So I can't wait. Shavka,
let me ask you, what do you think? Yes. Well, let's do a couple of picks, Matt, because we have two more guests.
Why wait for Yachty? Let's go.
Yeah, we can always ask him, and we'll see how he compares against us. Do you want to start with Bo against Jamie Pickett?
Let me see. All
right, opening card of the main fight, or however, whatever order you want to go in.
I think we do that, and we build up to the ending. You know, we build up to that.
Yeah. Pickett's on a 2-fight skid again. He's lost 4 out of 6, one was this. 2 TKOs, 1 sub, and a decision.
Jimmy,
yep.
Excuse me, I'm so sorry. Remember I told you about the thing at my school, my academy, that blew up? My landlord's a good dude.
Wait, what thing? You mean the flood? The pipe?
Flood. I didn't have the proper insurance, you know? So I thought I was taking a bath in it. And, I got hit pretty hard. But my landlord, we had a nice talk. It started off a little rough, then it got easier as it went. I think he thought I was putting it all on him. But anyway, he's going halves with me.
Oh, so nice.
I thought that was very nice of him. He, listen, he knows I'm a good tenant.
Yeah.
He knows I'm a good guy. I pay my shit on time. So we're going to work.
He doesn't want to wind up in litigation. It's not worth it.
Yeah, but you don't want to lose me as a tenant. Look at me.
Of course not.
All right. Back to the fights, Jimmy. I'm sorry. I just had to
tell okay.
I know you were worried about.
I'm happy that you're getting that taken care of. Bo Nickel against Jamie Pickett.
I'm going to say Bo Nickel, and I'm going to say by first round submission.
You know, Pickett's a veteran. Bo Nickel has not been out of the second round yet. He finished. Has he been out of the fight? Let me see. No, I don't think he has. I don't believe he has.
Go ahead and pick it. Sorry.
But I think... I think Nickel gets a stoppage, but I'm going to say that Jamie takes him into the third round.
Yeah,
I was going to say second. You know what? Let me say second round. Second round. I think that, again, Pickett's a very experienced fighter, and you never know what kind of nerve somebody is going to have opening, no matter how confident you are, you know, fourth professional fight. I think Pickett takes him into at least the second round, maybe the third. But I'm going to say second round stoppage by Bo Nickel.
All right, you picked it. Let me tell you, Gamrot versus Turner, talk to me. What do you think about this one, man?
All right, hold on a second.
I think we're going in that direction.
Yeah, of course. I'm just looking at last fights. I like both of these guys a lot. Jalen Turner has been, let me see, 2-4. It's a 5-fight win streak. You know, Riddell and Malarkey were his last 2 fights. And let's see. And Gamrot's last fight was, who did he beat?
Hey, Jimmy, I know you're excited.
Oh, he's on a loss, right, to Benil Dariush. What's that?
Yes. Well, yeah, but that is Beneil Darush.
Right? I know it was a decision. I mean, it was a good fight.
It was a good fight. Jimmy, I'm trying to let you know, The Mandalorian Season 3 came out today.
Oh, I know.
Are you excited about that?
No.
Grogu? No. Jimmy, this is the way. Can you get a little fun in your little heart? Can you? Jimmy, what are you watching? The White Lotus?
No, I'm watching The Last of Us.
Oh, me too.
Yeah, that's fun. It's good.
I like that too. You know, I'm surprised that was made. Dude, that video game is pretty. Is that the Zach story? Because it's based on a video game.
I know. They say it's very close.
It's a pretty good story.
I'm going to take Gamrot by decision over Jalen Turner.
I say Gamrot is going to have a hell of a fight. And I think he's going to get him in the third round. He's going to find a home for something. And end it.
Okay. Now we should skip Jeff Neal, Shavkat Rachmanov, because we're going to talk to Rachmanov shortly, and then we'll talk. We'll see what he says and then how he appears, and then make our decisions after. Alexa Grasso, co-main, Shevchenko defending against Alexa Grasso.
I cannot. Yeah. I'll say Shevchenko by decision. I'm going to say Grasso's got a good enough defense on the floor to survive down there. I don't think she's going to get crucifixed the way Valentina gets a lot of girls down there. I think she's going to make it through, but I think Shevchenko is just scary, and I think she's going to win by decision. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's what I'm yelling about, Jimmy.
I think what's that? Valentina stops her in the third round. I think she stops her in the third round.
That is your opinion. We're going to hear about all the odds in two when we get Yanni on here.
That's right. Now, Jones, Cyril Gane. We've both obviously are taking Jones. I know you're taking him. You think he's going to take him out on the floor and strangle him, and I think he's going to go to a decision. I also think Jones is a very, very smart fighter, and he's also going to be very aware of getting caught can be a problem.
What if I did the podcast like this?
I'd prefer it.
First round sub.
No.
First round sub.
Okay. You know what? You've picked some really interesting ones lately, and you've been right about everything. Jones decision.
Wait, hold on. Is that a shot at me?
No. You picked some. You've made some.
Right about everything.
No. I mean, when you've picked a couple of fights, you've picked them. You've analyzed them well before the fight, and you were right. I think two of our three last guests how well you've been picking fights lately. I've been shit.
Thank you, Jimmy.
I love you, Matt Serra.
I love when you give me compliments.
Frost Ahabi, I think I told him how well you are. I just forget the fight, Matt. My memory is gone. We were on the radio this morning, and we were talking about Patty Pimblett's last fight, and it took me a minute to pull up Jared Gordon's name. Like, my memory is starting to go. It's either that or there's just so many fucking things entering my brains.
That's funny you said that, man, because I was talking to one point, Dana forgot the name at a press conference.
Dana White.
Dana White, of course. Dana McGillicuddy. I'm fucking around. But so then Longo goes, hey, unless you're over 50, he goes, I don't want to hear shit about anybody saying that they're forgetting a name. He goes, I can't remember shit. He's like, it's like, as you get older, I think names can escape you. That's what I'm hearing.
I'm 54, and they really do. It's like a fucking sieve. Hey, let's bring Rachmanov in. He's in the waiting room, along with his translator. Yeah.
Nice to meet you, Shavkat.
Nice to meet you.
So now, Jeff Neal, this is your biggest fight today. Neal Magny, very tough. Now, Jeff Neal, another big name. How excited are we? How excited are we to fight Jeff Neal?
Yeah, I think Jeff is a very good opponent. You know, I think we're going to have a very good and exciting fight. And it's another step closer to the title shot for me.
And what do you expect, Jeff Neal? Do you think Jeff Neal is going to try to pull you into the third round? I mean, obviously your fights end relatively quickly. What do you think Jeff Neal's strategy against you is going to be?
I don't know what his plan is. You know, I think he'll try to work as he's always do. He'll try to outstrike me, but we'll see if he's going to work or not.
Your sister Sora is also an MMA fighter. Is that true? Yeah. Now, your parents, let me ask you, did your parents get you into martial arts or training in a very early age?
Yeah, I think once I started showing some results in the sport, she got motivated too, and she started picking it up. And I think she's not bad at it too.
Now, Jeff Neal is a big name opponent. You're number 9, he's number 7. What do you think, if you have a solid or exciting win over Jeff Neal, what do you think the next step is if the fight goes the way you want it to and it's a good ending?
You know, anyone who's going to get me closer to the top fight, I'm willing to fight them, you know. Right now, I'm just focused 100% on Jeff Neal.
Yeah, that's very smart. The rest of the division, there are a lot of guys who are very, very good on the floor at the top of that division. Now, I know you are only looking at Jeff Neal, but if they were to match you up with somebody in the top, say the top 6 or the top 5, who would you want that to be if you had a choice?
Yeah, just like I said, you know, anyone who's going to get me closer to the title fight, it can be Colby, it can be Bilal, you know, anyone, I'm ready.
I'm reading here that he used to play Mortal Kombat. Is that true? And does he still enjoy video games? And for the record, translator, I love the video games. But go ahead, let him know that.
Yeah, I don't have much time for video games recently. Of course, when I was a kid, I used to play a lot. Right now, if I have time, I play just PUBG Mobile, you know, on the phone.
How did you get the nickname Nomad?
I started my career in an event called Battle of Nomads. And when I did it, you know, I didn't have any nickname. And actually, the nickname Nomad really suits me too, you know, because I used to live in different places. So that's how I end up having this fight name.
When you were, if you moved around a lot when you were a kid, does it make it harder to make friends when you're a kid because you just expect to move out of the location you're in?
You know, yeah, it was hard. It took for me like around 2-3 years to adapt, you know, but once I started being involved in sports, I started to have friends in sports. Yeah, maybe that's my personality too, you know, I don't get close with too many people.
Well, when you're the new kid in school, like, because did kids sometimes want to fight the new kid or they want to pick on the new kid? It's just kind of a normal thing that kids go through. Did he have to deal with any of that, and did that contribute to him competing?
No, like I finished one school and I just moved on after I graduated in school. And in a school, I never had a problem with fights, you know, because I used to always win.
Oh, okay. they learned. Well, look, Shavkat, a very, very exciting fight for you. This is a great matchup. We love Jeff Neal as well. Good luck on Saturday night. You know, you're obviously a contender. And 16-0, incredible. And your fight against Neil Magny, I mean, very, very impressive. Before I let you go, you never see people handle Neil Magny. He's known for constant pressure and cardio, and you really fought him very, very well. Did he surprise you at all in that fight? Was there anything Neil Magny did that you didn't expect?
Yeah, nothing surprised me at all. You know, I just did my job better that night, you know, and working hard in practice, you know, just to perform well.
Thank you very much for coming on. You're a great fighter, and we are really looking forward to seeing this fight on Saturday. Good luck. Have a great fight.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
On May 10th, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere. This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
Apes hunt humans. That is wrong.
Bend for your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Only in theaters May 10. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
Jimmy, I got a nice question for the producer, Jake. Nice job with that fucking Mortal Kombat question, fuckface. Wow. that guy really shit on me during I was waiting to hear through the translator, like blah 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 blah, pop one, da-da. I'm like, oh, VR. I thought we're gonna bond over video games. The first thing that comes back is, well, when I was a child, I liked some video games, and
yeah,
obviously time for it now. So I was sitting there like, I was waiting for this interview to get over because I got to go play my VR. Now I just feel like an immature man child, and it just took me right out of that interview.
Matt, he acted like you said to him, so I understand that you like to sit in a high chair and eat pudding.
he looked at me like it was the most moronic. It is literally on the question sheet of Jake, I have a question. Where did you pull that out of? Is there an interview somewhere where the guy said he likes playing Mortal fucking Kombat? Or there was an interview. Let me read this. There was an interview where he said that. Oh, good. When was it? In his school newspaper when he was 13? You fuck? 10 days ago. Well, I'll tell you right now, I don't know about his memory, but he shot that right down. Are you sure it wasn't a different video game? All I know is,
yeah,
my follow-up question thrown right out of the water, which was, which is his favorite character? So I was going to say anyway, oh, you don't have time for it. But when you do, who do you like? Johnny Cage? And then he'll fucking be like, buh. The guy didn't want to talk to me anymore.
No. Well, he was younger when he played that. So I understand that you like to crawl around in a playpen.
Oh, fuck. I'm lightheaded.
Why does your settings, every time you laugh, it cuts out? You have to have, can we fix that, Jake? Because then it sounds like Matt just it left the room.
I'm here.
I know, but it sounds like it's a very strange...
Jimmy, I have a question.
Thing that cuts off. That's got to be fixed.
I have stomach issues. When I go to your thing this weekend at the Paramount.
Yes, buddy.
The bathrooms. How long is your set?
An hour maximum.
Oh, I could do that.
Yeah.
Is it bad if I come in during your openers and shit? Or is that like?
No,
that,
come in whenever you want.
How do you have to be seated, and when do you go on? Can you tell me these things?
They'll make sure you're seated and everything is taken care of. Okay. Kenny will take care of you. Kenny will be there.
Club Soda Kenny?
Club Soda Kenny will be there. I'm sure he'll be very happy to see you. You know Kenny.
He used to work at the Open Anthony show.
Open Anthony show, yeah. Now he's road managed for Dice, for me. He's done Amy Schumer. I think he's out on the road with Bill Burr now, and when he's around, he's coming to help me out.
Well, that's great, Jimmy. Well, listen, I'm asking questions because I want to plug it, even though it's sold out, right?
Yeah, well, there's a few singles left if anybody had, but I do have... New Jersey, if you're in this area and you can't make this, May 20th, it's in a pre-sale now in Montclair at the Wellmont Theater, May 20th. If it's funny, Matt, the pre-sale code, which is only until 10 p.m. tonight, is unfiltered. So people probably think it's a UFC podcast thing, but it's not. It's me doing stand-up.
So they, you know what's going to be upsetting for them when they show up to that one and I'm not there?
They're going
to
hate it.
I thought it was an unfiltered thing.
Yep.
You know? Well,
I didn't pick that.
When is Yanni, the Greek, getting in here so we could talk about some shit?
Yeah. Oh, we should pick Jeff Neil Rachmanov. He seems very fucking confident and ready to go. I love Jeff Neil. I mean, I just, Rachmanov is such a
Giannis 250. Okay, in a couple minutes.
A killer on the floor. I have to take.
You can't look at it. You can't look at it like, you know, that Jeff Neal lost to Neil Magny.
No, I don't. That was a decision. He didn't get subbed. And that was a decision.
Yeah, but my thing is interesting though. I mean, he knocked out some people. Holy shit!
He did. I mean,
actually, he has a win over Bilal Muhammad.
He does. Yeah, and that was only it was 4 years ago now, but it was a decision win over Bilal. Yeah. Is that Bilal's last loss?
I'm going for the upset. I believe it's the upset. I believe. Well, we'll talk to Yanni about that. I'm going to go with Jeff Neal. Second round stoppage. I was going to say decision for
Rachmanov. Yes.
For the Nomad. For the new Mortal Kombat guy. Nah. Thanks, Jake the Producer. I don't know where you got that from. Wherever you got that from, it's false information. He looked at me like I was a moron. Yeah. He looked at me like this grown-ass man. Oh, do you like to play tic-tac-toe? How do you like, do you ever play the game Operation? I mean, dude, come on, man. Make me feel like an asshole.
It was a good question.
It was not a good question, Jimmy.
Sure was. So I understand that
this is nice. He's backing him up. The question I put was, we hear that you used to play Mortal Kombat. Who was your favorite character? Oh, okay. You used to. All right. So we heard that when you were 12.
Yeah.
Used to play. We heard they used to play with G.I. Joe. Who do you like in G.I. Joe?
Word has it. That when you have a hard time sleeping, a warm baba helps you drift off.
Do you like a baba? And how warm do you like your baba?
Now, I got to take, and I love Jeff Neal. I mean, I really love Jeff Neal. I have to take Shavkat Rachmanov, and I have to take him in the second round. If I didn't love Jeff Neal so much, I would maybe even take him in the first.
You wouldn't have to do anything.
Yeah, I know, but I'm never rooting against Jeff Neal ever. But I just think Rachmanov has been on too much of a roll and he's looked too good.
I might have told you this before, but it makes
sense. And so again, he could drop him. Sorry, go ahead.
Listen, once I heard Al Pacino say this in an interview, it makes so much sense that I would have been annoyed with him. I would have been annoyed at the director for taking like a scene out. Listen, I might have said this before, and I'm not sure because I forget.
Oh, about Heat?
Oh, I did say this already.
Yes, you're right.
What am I going to say?
That he was over the top and she got a great ass because he had done coke earlier in the thing and that explained it.
His character was supposed to be a little bit of, you know, he had a little bit of a coke problem. And he would do that to like sniff that to stay up all night fighting crime and getting the criminals. But that's why he was all like, that's why he was over the top.
Makes perfect sense.
Right.
So I wonder why they took that out, or how do you justify that to Al Pacino? And he's like, it's almost like
crazy.
If they did Scarface, but they took out all the parts about him being Cuban and dealing drugs, and you're like, well, why is he just yelling like this? It doesn't make any sense. Why are these guys coming to shoot him?
Why is he just like? Why is he having a normal conversation? Then he's like, give me all your knife. Give me all your.
Yeah,
it's like he's crazy, but it makes that's why he goes. That's why some of those choices I made. He's like, so I don't know. I don't know why.
Is he annoyed when they took that out?
No, but he said, he goes, I don't know if I'm supposed to say this, but there was some of the choices that were made for myself and, you know, be playing that character that would explain a lot of it because he's
sipping
off the cocaine. So I don't know. I thought that was very interesting. I like hearing all the little.
I do too.
Like I heard, like Tom Selleck was supposed to play Die Hard. He was going to be John McClane. Imagine that.
What happened? Did he say no to it, or did they just find Bruce Willis?
No, but I remember when Bruce Willis did it, they said something like, "Oh no, the guy from Moonlighting, that's not going to work."
And he was so good.
It was good.
By the way, poor Bruce Willis had aphasia, and now it's dementia. They've announced that he has dementia, 67. So it's very sad news. He's such a great fucking actor. Great action star. I did a scene with him in a movie and he was nice to me. So
if Longo gets that dementia, I'm going to be driving around the neighborhood. He's like, who are you? I'm like, ah. I'll be circling around the block, let him out, see if he can get home. Anyway, I said, first of all, that's in bad taste.
Nice. Okay.
I don't know. I wouldn't really do that.
That's all right. I live in bad taste.
But he's a little bit older than me. You know what, man? I was thinking the other day, and I was talking to Longo, and there was a time I got back from the some fights in the city, and I was with my wife and her cousins, right? And we were at this diner in Long Island, and I see Longo in the other room. I might have told you this before. And I see Longo, and he's there with my friend Dr. Sherry and my buddy James Gaber, my old Muay Thai teacher at my school. And he taught for me for a long time. And I remember I called Longo. I go, there they are in the other part. Look at them. They're the part of the diner. So I call Longo. He's with Dr. Sherry and Gabert. He sees me. Look, he sees my phone. He holds the phone up to them and he puts his eyes up like this. So I go, this motherfucker is not going to pick up the phone. Look at this. So I go, honey, look, he's not picking up this. And then finally he picks it up. And I go, you son of a bitch. I seen him the whole time and they were laughing. And I was talking to Gabert. I was talking to Longo about it. And I go, Longo, do you realize you're the only one alive at that table now? Do you know that shit?
Wow.
James took his life and Dr. Sherry passed from cancer. So it's like, you know what I mean? So it's like, I go, Longo, you're the only guy at that table left. I go, there's nobody else that you will be. This is, did I just get morbid?
That's okay. I get that too. It happens when you get older. You start realizing you are kind of lucky to still be here.
Damn. All right. Yanni's in the waiting room. Sorry.
Yeah.
We took a weird turn.
That's all right. Yanni the Greek talking about death.
There he is.
Hello, Yanni sir.
I've been waiting in the wave room. I'm like, are they not going to let me in? Is there a pass? That's is there a code or something? I got to knock.
It's not your fault. I blame the producer.
Yeah, we don't always know. Yanni.
We want to hear some odds, and we want to know how you did last time that you were here.
Yes,
honestly, you got me at the right time. I'm red hot. I'm okay. Coming off the best start of a year I've had in like a decade. It's all documented. You could just look on social media on my Twitter. Like the next five, you could tie up the next five guys behind me, prop it together, and I'm still ahead of them right now through the first 8 weeks. Like I've had that good of a start. So yeah, you got me on perfect timing, baby. This should be pay per view.
Do you remember how you did in the only could we talk to you again? I think it was 284 that you were on for Makachev against Volkanovski. I think that was
the Makachev was simply I said pass because Makachev should win this fight, but there's absolutely no betting value. So even though he should win the fight, that doesn't mean it's a good bet. Just like I was explaining, someone's hitting a number on roulette right now. It's still a terrible bet. They're happy they won to themselves. They may say it's a good bet, but it's a terrible bet. So that's what we concluded there.
Right.
And then it was the co-main event that I had a small sprinkle and that didn't get there. But we didn't share my bets. We could do that if you want. Like I placed a couple bets already on this card that for your viewers, I could just fire off real quickly. And then we could talk main event, co-main.
Yes. Love to hear it. Around, yes.
Just so they could get some of the stronger picks if you want.
Love to hear it. Yes.
Let's do it. Shoot.
Oh, we're ready to go. Let's do it.
Oh, yes, buddy. Yeah.
The first bet I fired immediately was Marc-Andre Barriol. He opened as an underdog. He's now a -150 favorite, and this should be at least a -200 number. So you still have some room and some margin to take advantage of. And it took all of 9 minutes for guys like myself to make him the favorite when he opened as the underdog. And the reason's pretty simple. The experience factor, when you look at their minutes in the octagon, it's just – one's got almost 2x the amount of experience. That sticks out, number one. You couple that with most of the betting public being on the Marquez side. When I talk to bookmakers, they're actually taking the bait and betting the underdog. To me, that sticks out more than anything. When you see the recreational bettors lining up to bet the underdogs, because again, they like to bet favorites, they like to bet unders. When they do the opposite of what they're usually doing, you need to take a step back and ask why. And when you look, it looks because Marquez, they think, should be able to get him out of there. That's not going to happen. This will remain striking. and the edges are all on the Barriault side. Lay the 150 comfortably. He wins this fight. And, okay. and real quickly, a total that I bet over 1.5, and I'm sharing this because I'm seeing a lot of recreational bettors betting the under, and that's Neil against Rakhmonov. I've seen this over and over again in MMA. As guys get on to the contender, it's their first time they're ever facing someone of that quality. And a guy that has 15 knockouts ends up seeing a second or third round for the first time. Eventually, guys like Rakhmonov run into that same obstacle in the UFC, where the tougher the strength of schedule is, the higher the probability they're going to see more and more minutes. But because of their past history, the odds makers still have to line it low. That total 1.5, I'll tell you this, over the last 10 years, Jimmy, if you did nothing else but just bet 1.5s, you lost money. Like, bettors like to bet under because they want to see knockouts, but it's a losing bet. You're minus 3% return on investment going under 1.5. Stay away from those. The only thing worse is going under 3.5 or under 4.5. Those are dead bets, bad bets. Stay away from those. So real quickly, we're going to go over Neil Rakhmonov, over 1.5. Neil's never been finished in the UFC, as tough as they come. And I wouldn't be surprised if, I wouldn't say he beats Rakhmonov. He shouldn't be this big of an underdog. That's for damn sure. Rakhmonov should be able to get by, but he is too high of a favorite. So we're not going to bet the dog. Instead, we're going to go over 1.5. Take Marc-Andre Barriault, and you are gold with a side and a total. And if you need a little small underdog, maybe look at Viviana Raggio. Again, Amanda Ribas, huge, huge fan favorite. And because of that, she's usually going to be priced with a premium. And that's what we got here against a tough Araujo, who should be there the entire three rounds. This girl's never been finished. And let's not forget, when it comes to women's MMA, when the higher probability that the judges get involved, you don't want to be holding too many favorite tickets in your pocket when you're worried about how the judging goes. Meaning, if you have plus money, if you have an underdog ticket in your pocket, there's a little bit of room for error. But when you're laying 120, 130s, 150s, there's no room for error because you now have to hit two bets to turn a profit. Meaning at minus 150, if you split, go 1-1, you lost money. But if two underdogs, you go 1-1, you made money. So be very cautious betting favorites. Be selective.
And as a non-better, how does that work, minus 150? Like you said, that a really the Jeff Neal, Rakhmonov is you think a very good bet. If I wanted to possibly do something there, say I had $100. Can you explain to me, like, in just basic non-gambling term, what that means with $100 for Jeff Neal, Rakhmonov?
Very simple. These lines simply all reflect to win $100. So when you have the favorite, you're betting to win $100. When you bet the underdog, you're flat betting $100. So hear me out. A favorite of minus 150 would be the underdog is plus 130. So if I want to win $100 on the favorite, I have to put up 150 to win 100.
Right.
If I bet the underdog, I put that same 100. Now I get back 130.
130, okay.
So that's where the minus comes in. Wherever you see the minus, you see minus 300. That means I now have to put up 300 to win 100. And that starts to get a little bit expensive. But where recreational bettors, Jimmy, don't take that next step. And I see it all the time because hear me out. There's a lot of with gambling Twitter out there. Everybody's a winning sports bettor. Be careful. Very few people win betting sports. There's a lot of people that cover sports betting, but very few people that win at actually doing it. So you got to be very selective and you got to be very cautious about run betting because you think someone's going to win. At the end of the day, we bet, like a person like myself that bets because I think the number's off, and that's the only reason.
Okay.
And what I'm saying is that recreational bears don't take that next step. What does minus 300 mean? Like, you could ask 9 out of 10 bettors, and they'll say, yeah, he's a favorite. But what does minus 300 mean? What does it mean? It means 75% break even. What does minus 400 mean? 80% break even. What does minus 200 mean? 67% break even. So why am I bringing those up? Because that's the win percentage you need just to break even. So when you lay minus 400, you have to conclude he wins 80% of the time in this spot just for you to break even. So if I'm going to lay minus 400, I have to come to the table with the conclusion that he should win this fight about 90% of the time.
To make money, right.
It don't matter that he's going to win. Of course he should win. A minus 400 on paper is going to always look better than the underdog. But betting those big favorites when they're overpriced is a sure way to go broke. That's the quickest way to lose money.
It's with a. It's all based on the idea of 100, right? So like Gon is plus 135. So if I have $100 and I put it down, if I want to win $100, I have to bet 160 on Jones. And if I bet 100 on Cyril, I win 135 if he wins.
Exactly. And that's the one fight everyone's talking about, guys. And from a betting perspective, that's one that I'm going to sit and watch. Any time that I could make a very good argument, I mean, a strong argument for both guys, it tells me that I'm guessing. And I'm okay with a little bit of uncertainty. I live in a world of uncertainty, of probability, so I'm comfortable with that. But the more uncertainty, the higher my return is, meaning the further I'm going out on the risk curve, the higher my return needs to be. And in this fight, there's just way too many uncertainties, guys. We're talking about a John Jones who's never fought at heavyweight, but he's also arguably the GOAT. So you can't fade this guy. He's 18-1 with one no contest as a favorite. His average closing line is minus 472. So a guy whose average closing line is 472, you're now getting him as minus 165. So it's a discounted price on John Jones. I should be jumping on him. But here's the problem. This is the first time we're ever going to see Cyril Gane as an underdog. He's been a favorite in all nine of his UFC fights. He will close as a dog for the first time. Uncharted territory for Cyril. Let's not forget, he closed as a minus 145 favorite against Francis Ngannou. I don't care that he lost that fight. What I care about is that me, you, and the betting market concluded he should win that fight when he walked into the octagon. That's what I look at. What was the closing line? Forget the fact that he lost. Again, they could have fought the next day and a different outcome could have happened. Obviously, Maddie knows that. There's so much randomness to any, you know, 5, 15, 20-minute fight. So for me, that's why this fight is just so difficult to find a side where I say this line's off. It's inefficient. I think this is a good fight to book. If you're a bookmaker, you sit back and let the bettors decide. And that's why you're not seeing much line movement, because there's good two-way action. So what happens? The sportsbook gets to walk in and sweep up all that juice at no risk. They're in a good position here, and that's okay. So we have to watch it as a fan. If you're doing it for profit, like myself, if you're right. doing it for entertainment, have at it. And my advice, I wouldn't fade John Jones. Like, I don't know a person walking this planet that is rich by betting against John Jones. So if you want to be the first one to say you did that, have at it.
Who do you think on a non-professional gambling thing, just as a fight fan, who do you think wins that fight?
John Jones. John Jones. Simply because the analytics show he doesn't have as many advantages as one may think. They're very close. But I think it's the experience.
100%.
Is just keeps jumping out at me. Those minutes that he's had, those fights that he's had, that experience, I think is what should take over here. And when you look at Gon, that's what he lacks. I mean, that's the one thing in MMA that sticks is the most glaring. You look at a record where, you know, he's got 12 professional fights and you're going up against the GOAT. Granted, he can win this fight. They're at heavyweight. One big punch and it's over. But if I'm going to fade John Jones, you got to give me at least 2-1. Like, I need to get plus 200 because at plus 200, my break even is 33%. So I'm saying, yeah, one out of three times, CDO gets in there and gets the job done. But I don't think he does it more than that. And that's what this line reflects. This line reflects, if you're betting CDO, you're saying that if they meet 10 times in Matt's backyard, that CDO wins this fight, you know, 4 out of 10 times, or either even, because you want to have a margin at plus money. So you're saying they walk out of there 5-5. I don't think that's the case. I think it's at least 7-3 in favor of Jones. But it's the question marks, and that I don't have nothing but I'm guessing like everyone else, because I don't have the data at heavyweight to back up what I'm saying. I'm not willing to trade my dollars for a bet ticket in that spot.
I'm with you, Jimmy. I agree in a sense where it's not about ability and talent and skill, because I think Ciryl Gane has all that.
Sure.
But I question his fight IQ. He did not lose to Francis Ngannou because he wasn't the better fighter. He lost because of a poor choice. He got a takedown. He got him where he wanted. All he had to do was stay on top. He laid down with a leg. It cost him the fifth round, cost him the fight. Poor choice. And again, you make a choice or a decision. You even accept going to the ground with John Jones, and I think you're getting submitted. So I don't know. I think that fight IQ is a huge, huge part of it. And that only, that's something you only get through experience. So, you know, that's my two cents on that.
Yeah, I think you're right. Yanni, thank you very much. You're such an interesting guy. I love having you on. It's so great to hear the way your brain works. It's a very busy brain, and good luck this weekend, man. Have a good time.
Thanks for having me, guys. Cash them, don't trash them. I hope everyone makes money. Whether you follow or fade me, it's irrelevant. We're all on the same side. I hope you guys make some money and enjoy the fight. Be cautious on Valentina Shevchenko and Bo Nickel. Yes, they should win their fights, but they're terrible bets at those prices. Enjoy UFC 285. Should be a banger.
Thanks all right, buddy. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks, Yanni.
Take care, man. And Matt, I will see you. Always great having him. He's got such a fun. I would like to have him earlier in the show, though, so we can have more time with him. And thank you to Shavkat Rakhmonov and, of course, Bo Nickel, two undefeated, really, really exciting fighters. And what, buddy?
Did you pick the main event?
I did. I said Jones by decision. I do not think, I mean, there's a part of me that thinks Gane is going to catch him. Like, even though Gane does not have that one punch knockout thing like in Ngannou typically did, or Derek Lewis, or even Tuivasa, he did hurt Tuivasa. And I also think that booming left kick to the body, Jones has seen it before, but I don't know if he's taken it as hard as Ciryl Gane. And maybe Jones's experience, as much as he is probably the greatest ever, he hasn't fought professionally in 3 years. Maybe the fact that Gane has been in there fighting makes up for a little bit of that lack of experience. I don't know. I mean, there's a part of me that wants to take Ciryl Gane too, because I think that he has looked really tremendous against some devastating heavyweights. He just fucked up against Ngannou, like you said, and his fight IQ just made a stupid mistake. But for all intents and purposes, he lost the fight, but he was winning that fight and kind of handed it over. Francis did not take it.
Well, listen, the fight is this Saturday night, pay-per-view, and I'm gonna watch that right after I'm done hanging out, watching my Jimmy make everybody laugh, and I can't wait to see you there.
You know what? I'm gonna take Ciryl Gane. Here's why.
Oh my goodness,
Jimmy. Here's why. Because again, he has not fought anybody as well-rounded as John Jones. I don't think anybody as smart in the octagon as John Jones. but he has fought some tremendous veterans. Again, Junior Dos Santos was not exactly in his prime, but Rozenstrike, Alexander Volkov, Derek Lewis, he loses to Ngannou. He comes back and knocks out Tai Tuivasa. None of these are easy fights. These are all murderers. Tanner Boser, Dontale Mays. These are all fucking killers. I think.
Go ahead, and then I'll tell you what I'm saying.
Are you saying they're opposite things? I think. No. What, buddy?
You know, I tell me what you think fast, and I'm going to tell you what I'm doing.
Oh, sorry. I think that he winds up. I think he wins this fight. I think he stops John in the third.
Can I tell you why I held up my espresso and my
Someone has to shit.
Well, I got to do three things right now.
Okay. I'll see you Saturday.
No. The three things are, I don't want to be mature about this, because before I brought up the video games, it was kind of immature.
Sure.
But those three things are, what is it now? Kaki poopoo. Wait, hold on. Kaki poopoo kaka?
Kaki, I have papa, to kaki poopoo doodoo or something like that. Yeah.
Kaki poopoo doody. You ever see? It was from Young Frankenstein. They're like, oh no, there's somebody in the kids in the audience. It's kids here. Kaka poopoo. What was it? What was it? The order of it.
I don't remember.
All right, we're grown ass men. Can we? I just have to use the bathroom. So okay. Who do you want to pick? You
picked. I'm taking Cyril Gane by the third round.
Cock-a-poop-a-duty is what I should have said.
Tonight, come see me, Fat Black Pussycat. Matt, I'll see you Saturday.
I didn't really say cock-a-poop-a-duty.
No, you didn't. I pretended I didn't hear it.
Everybody, you pretend you didn't hear that. Bye, everyone.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.